Today's Power Hour is brought to you by ESQ Clothing. ESQ specializes in handmade bespoke suiting and accessories. Founded in 2012 by Gao Wang, ESQ creates all handmade garments and footwear using the finest fabrics from Italy and England. ESQ has built its business on creating the most exclusive garments for the most discerning clients, but a price unheard of when talking about handmade bespoke suits. Gao Wang has strong Notre Dame ties. He's a former Notre Dame graduate who outfits some of ND's most famous alumni, including Brian Kelly, Kyle Rudolph, Harrison Smith, Manti Te'o, and many others. You can request a fitting at your office or your home, and Gao will travel for his clients. Visit ESQ Clothing at www.esqclothing.com or call Gao at 312-888-1954, or you can visit their showroom at 555 West Jackson Boulevard in Chicago today.
It's time for Power Hour.
I love your energy to bring every day.
The IrishSportsDaily.com podcast covering the Fighting Irish throughout the year.
You know why I love it? Because you love football.
Visit IrishSportsDaily.com now to sign up for a premium subscription.
This is a football family.
And now, your Power Hour host.
The guy has a lot of ability.
Mike Frank.
All right, folks, welcome once again to Irish Sports Daily Power Hour. I'm your host, Mike Frank. I'm here with my co-hosts in Matt Freeman and Jamie Uyama. And, well, lots to talk about today, guys. We'll get into that shortly, but wanted to mention once again, a great time to sign up for IrishSportsDaily.com. You can go to the front page and click on subscribe now and sign up. Lots going to be happening here in the next couple weeks before signing day. So, and then of course, lots of stuff going on with coaching hires and looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing unfolds when the new coaches come in and what that all means for the offense and defense you know, it could be interesting, too, with spring practice. We'll talk a little bit about that as well, you know, some of the rumors that are out there as to what's happening with that. Also want to mention, if you have any questions at all for the ISD staff, you can stop by the front page of Irish Sports Daily and go to the Huddle, which is our free message board. You can ask questions there, and our staff will come and answer whatever questions you have, and we'll go from there. So, all right, guys, well, let's get into it. You know, strength and conditioning... It's kind of strange, man. I would have thought we'd hear something by now. And, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit worried here that maybe this isn't quite as done as they hoped. I know we've done some digging, and we haven't really been able to confirm anything one way or the other at this point. But I would think that this would have been announced by now.
Yeah, there's a lot of different rumors out there, but nothing that we can really pinpoint anything substantial on right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's definitely interesting with classes starting tomorrow, I believe. And
yeah.
All the players and stuff supposed to be back today, so
I think you know Bayless, from my understanding, should be fine. But I don't know about Blue at this point and how this is all going to unfold. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. But I think Bayless should be in place, you know, based off everything I've heard. Mm-hmm. So I think that should be fine. And then we'll just see what happens and you know moving forward. So I don't, you know, when you look at it, obviously Dell Alexander has not been announced yet and will be, you know, by all accounts. So we're looking at the staff, and we've got a lot of things changed. I did kind of an article on it, I guess late last week, about my thoughts on it, but I didn't get your guys' thoughts on it overall. Jamie, let's start with you. I mean, what do you like about these hires, and do you have any major concerns?
Yeah, I think for the most part, you know, there are upgrades at just about every single one of the new hires. You know, I wouldn't call Dell Alexander an upgrade from Mike Denbrock, because I think Mike Denbrock is an outstanding coach and outstanding recruiter. But I think, you know, Dell Alexander is a guy who's got a reputation as a very good recruiter, you know, very, very good detail-oriented wide receiver coach, which is something I think you need, because that's what Mike Denbrock was a stickler for the fundamentals as a coach as well. So, in a sense, I think, you know, you didn't want to have a drop off there, or like at least a major drop off. And I don't think you're going to get that with Alexander. So that's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, I like the hire of Chip Long. You know, very interesting to see that, Kelly said that he was going to be the primary play caller. You know, we'll see how that plays out. But I definitely think he's got some good ideas that I would like to see kind of implemented into the offense a little bit. And I'm excited to see where that goes. And the fact that he's a tight ends coach who's had a lot of success before, a little bit more, you know, actually not a little bit more, a lot more experience than Scott Booker coaching tight ends. So that I think should help, you know, across the board, because they're going to need better development there at that position. So I think that's really important. You know, Brian Polian, obviously outstanding recruiter, someone that's going to, you know, work really hard at it. I think he's going to be a big asset in that department. Also, you know, he's had maybe not spectacular special teams, but always solid. And the fact that he's just concentrating just on special teams, I think is a really good thing. And then, you know, Mike Elko, I think we've talked about a ton, and obviously it was a big time hire to get someone like that, you know, was wanted by so many other schools as well. And I'm very excited to see what he does with the scheme. And Clark Lee as well is a guy with a great reputation in terms of, you know, being a linebacker coach. You know, the only thing that I'm a little bit concerned about is, you know, shifting Mike Elston back to defensive line. You know, I know we kind of talked about it before, but just the fact that he was, you know, moved from defensive line a couple years ago because they wanted to get someone to do that job a bit better, and then they're just moving him back. And I understand why you want to keep him on the staff for continuity reasons, and obviously he's done a tremendous job as a recruiting coordinator, but I mean, I just think that defensive line, and I'm not just saying this just from my own personal bias, but I just think defensive line, I think you have to have, you know, a guy who's a top flight coach there, you know, running that position and developing guys. And I'm not sure if Elston is that guy. So that would be my only concern. But in terms of the new hires, I'm pretty excited about it.
Matt, you got any thoughts?
No, I mean, I think Jamie pretty much covered it there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think Elko's doing a hell of a job right now on the recruiting trail, just catching up himself with where he needs to fill holes on his defense at this point, but also getting ahead a little bit on 218 too. So I think he's doing a real adequate job as far as just coming and stepping in right now, right off the bat.
Far more than what we saw with the two previous, you know, defensive coordinators, you know. So I think that that's a big plus. And then, you know, we know for a fact that Chuck Long likes to recruit. I think we'll be seeing some success there. You know, I thought it was important to get him out in front of Oliver Martin. You know, very first guy he goes and sees is Oliver Martin. I think that that's important. And we'll talk a little bit about recruiting here shortly. But you know, I like that. You know, I think Jamie makes a good point in that, you know, he's going to start calling plays. So at least he's going to get a chance. You know, we'll, like I've told you guys, he'll call plays as long as he calls plays, because, you know, we've known Kelly sometimes if things aren't going well right away or whatever, he can tend to get involved. But I think in order to kind of, you know, appease people and still have that reputation as a coach you want to work for, you got to let a guy do his job. So I think you'll have a pretty long leash, at least initially, on how long, you know, he can call plays and what they think. I really like the idea of the offense. I think it's going to open up some things. And more importantly, I like the idea of the offense with a guy like Brandon Wimbush, you know, a guy who's very, very explosive, can put a lot of pressure on a defense just with his legs. And so I'm excited about that. You know, with Delvon Alexander, Jimmy, I thought you brought up a very good point, and I noticed I did the same thing. And that's that, you know, he can focus more just on wide receivers, where Mike Denbrock had to focus on the offensive, you know, production and everything, and that takes a tremendous amount of responsibility and time. So him just focusing on it, and I think that's going to be important because – they have so many young guys at wide receiver who really need to develop in order for this thing to take off. You know, as good as Equanimeous St. Brown is, he still has some things he needs to work on in his game. C.J. Sanders clearly has some things he needs to work on in his game as well. Stefferson, you know, Kevin Stefferson looks good at times and does some things, but he needs a lot more consistency as well. Chase Claypool is a guy that is budding and is a star in the making, but still, you know, a little raw, you know, hasn't played at this level. Love what I see from him. You've got Miles Boykin. Needs to work on the hands. There's no question about it, but he can be a big body that can give you some things. And, of course, you got a lot of freshmen plus Javon McKinley. You know, so there's a lot of guys here that really have to step up this year in order for them to make it. So I like the idea of having a guy just completely focused on that. I guess we'll see what happens at D-line. You know, I think Mike Elston is a good coach. I wonder, you know, and I mentioned it before, I'm a little bit concerned about, it sounded like they wanted somebody to be kind of a hard guy because some of those guys need a fire lit under them. But after being the defensive coordinator and the good guy, it's kind of hard to switch that role and have people respect you. So that's going to be really the interesting thing to see how that all goes. But maybe, you know, I think if you go into the meeting and say, look, guys, we got to get more production. That's my job, you know, so I'm not going to be nice all the time. And I got to do – I think it just depends on how you handle it, and we'll see whether they have any success with that. Okay, well, on to recruiting. I mean, Notre Dame's put out a lot of offers out there lately. And it's been having you guys jumping, Matt. And you and Christian have had to be on your toes and kind of following up on all of this. I mean, it's kind of confusing at this point. I don't even know where to who's a legit prospect, who's a guy that they're – and I wonder if it's a little too late at this point.
I would say at this point, just based off of conversations that I've had with different people, the offers that they're throwing out there right now are guys that they feel will come at least visit, if not consider Notre Dame a little bit more than that. So they're not even wasting their time in offering kids that aren't planning on visiting. So I think that with each offer, that's a kid that is kind of maybe a little flaky as far as his commitment, if he is committed. So I think they do feel confident they have a chance, and that's why they're offering. So, but yeah, there's been a lot of offers, especially at obviously defensive back, receiver, and defensive tackle. So it's definitely been a chore to keep up with, but it's kind of exciting at the same time just because there's so many of them going out. So
yeah, I mean, I think that they have, you know, Mac Hippenhammer is a guy that's been committed to Penn State. We think that there's a good chance that he could possibly flip at some point. That's one wide receiver. You got Oliver Martin still out there. Mm-hmm. You got to come up with two. You got to come up with two out of this class. And there's some other guys that are out there as well, you know, that are considering Notre Dame. What do we got at wide receiver right now, Matt? You know, guys that we think that they have a shot at.
Michael Smith, he's out of Florida. He'll be up, I think, next weekend. And they should have a pretty good shot with him just because he has literally no offers from big-time schools. And Notre Dame's the one that's taking a flyer on him. And then Gavin Holmes, a Texas receiver, he was previously committed to Iowa. He's kind of like the fast kid, kind of like Hippenhammer. And they should have a pretty good shot with him. But out of the receivers, definitely Matt Hippenhammer is the one to kind of watch here. He'll be up on campus later today on an unofficial with his mom. So I think they're going to kind of do the background and just see what Notre Dame has to offer because, I mean, he's seen the football side of it.
Yeah.
So I think he is scheduled to go to Penn State this weekend for his official visit. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what his timeline is as far as if he's going to flip immediately, which I don't think he's going to do based off talking to him last night. But I think if he takes his Penn State official, you could see him come back the next weekend to Notre Dame to take an official to Notre Dame and just kind of mingle with the guys and get a better feel of just the social life and stuff like that. So, but I do think they have a pretty good shot with him.
Okay. Anybody else that's on that list that you think they got a shot at right now?
I think they're doing pretty well with Oliver Martin. Mm-hmm. I think that meeting went really well with Chip Long. Mm-hmm. But he was just off an official visit this weekend to Michigan State, and all of their commits started tweeting at him and stuff like that. So he's definitely feeling the love from the Spartans. But I would say Hippenhammer and Oliver Martin are probably your best bets at this point, which wouldn't be a bad class to go with Michael Young considering the circumstances.
Okay. And when you look at you know, defensive back, that's a big concern heading into this. There's no question. There's one guy. That's it. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they got Chris Miller coming in this weekend, and I like him. You know, fast guy committed to Colorado. Trayshawn Smith, another guy that they like a lot. I think those two would be two of their very top guys left on the board right now, and love to see them land those two. But, you know, can you talk about those guys and anybody else that's out there right now?
Yeah, I think Chris Miller, it's pretty telling because he might actually get dropped from Colorado if he visits Notre Dame. So If he ends up showing up this weekend as expected, I think that says a lot about his interest in Notre Dame. And then Trayshawn, I don't think he's 100% committed this weekend to coming up, but if he does come up, he'll be joined with former Louisville commit Trey Norwood. So those two have kind of a relationship, and they're kind of going through that weird process of losing their defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach at Louisville. So they're just kind of doing their background. And then Evan Fields, the safety out of Missouri, I personally think this kid's one of the best prospects still left on the board out of any positions. And he's down to his – I think this is his fourth official. So I think Notre Dame really can move up on his board because Notre Dame offered him and then immediately went into his top five. So I think he understands what Notre Dame can do for him pretty well. And then the 27th, Terrell Bailey, Louisiana cornerback, Tennessee commit. I think Notre Dame has a very, very good shot at flipping him. And some of the Tennessee sources I've spoken to have pretty much written him off of their class already. So I think that's a very good sign for Notre Dame.
All right. So they got some offers and some opportunity there at defensive back. They just got to close, and hopefully they will. You know, defensive end's another position that they really could use some guys. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. You know, pass rusher type guys, and Jalen Harris is one. I mean, where are they at with these guys?
I think Jalen Harris is pretty intrigued with Notre Dame. He came out to the Midwest this weekend to visit Illinois, mm-hmm. which is kind of random, but I think his dad has some type of connection with Lovie Smith from the NFL. But I think he really enjoyed his visit to Illinois, which sounds weird for an Arizona kid, but he was tweeting about how he needed to get out of Arizona and all this stuff. So I think when he comes up in a couple weeks to check out Notre Dame, I think he'll be blown away just with what Notre Dame has to offer versus Illinois and Arizona, not to downgrade those programs. But I think Notre Dame's in a little bit better position facility-wise. And as far as the type of kids that can relate to him, I think he'll fit in really well at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other defensive and coming in next week for a midweek visit is Myron Taglova-Omosa from Hawaii. He's visiting Vanderbilt and Navy unofficial, so Notre Dame's kind of squeezed in the middle. But I think Notre Dame has a very, very good shot at landing him. His family's put a huge emphasis on higher education, and Notre Dame obviously can give him that. So I think it's just a matter of him feeling comfortable within the structure at Notre Dame versus distance or anything like that.
He's got a brother who plays in Navy.
Yep.
And that, you know, I think that that's always a good sign as far as academics and discipline, and, you know, that kids can handle. If you got one brother who can go, although, you know, my brother and I are two totally different people, so, you know, it's a different thing. But I think parent-wise, that's a good sign that, you know, academics is a huge, huge thing for them.
His dad, when I was talking to him, was even kind of joking that, because his brother plays right tackle.
Yeah.
So eventually, in a couple of years, they might actually get to line up across from each other if he went to Notre Dame. So
yeah,
he was kind of joking about that. I was like, oh, so he's going to cut your other son?
Yeah.
I didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah. What about D-line? You know, interior guys.
I guess Taglova could be one. I mean, he can play strong side or three tech. I know they're looking kind of for another three tech, it sounds like. I'm not sure they're getting much traction there.
Yeah.
They offered I forget his name, but he's committed to Illinois. Yeah. I don't think
Kendrick Green.
Yep. I don't think he's going to end up visiting. And then they're still hanging around with Joshua Paschal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's going to materialize to the point where Notre Dame fans can kind of get excited about him again, but they're still pushing and pulling on him. So it'll kind of be interesting just to see once, because I know he met with Elko this week. So after him and his family talk it over, it'll be kind of interesting to see where they're at with that whole process with his brother being at Kentucky and everything like that. But it's just names at this point as far as D tackle goes.
Jimmy, I know you've taken a look at all these guys. I mean, who do you like? Who stands out to you that you hope Notre Dame lands in this class?
Well, I really like the Tagovailoa-Omosa kid from Hawaii. I'm a big fan of him.
Are you going to bump him to a 4-star, though?
I already bumped him up there, Matt, just for you.
Thank you.
yeah, no, I really like him. I think he's a guy with a really high motor. you know, really physical kid. You know, like Matt said, he can play outside, possibly bump into three tech. We'll see how big he gets. But yeah, he's someone that I really like out of the D lineman. And Jalen Harris, too, is a guy that I think is intriguing because, I mean, he obviously has a lot of physical development to do, but I look at him as kind of like a Bo Wallace type. Remember, everyone remembers Bo Wallace. He was committed to Notre Dame, then ended up at Arizona State. But, you know, very similar type of body type to that. And probably, I think, even a better athlete than Bo Wallace was. So he's an intriguing guy to me because I think long term, you know, if you can't get a Kando or a Robert Beal, these are the type of pass rusher types that you're going to get. You want to get the guys with the athletic traits that you can build up physically after, rather than a guy who's just big that maybe can't turn the corner. So he's an intriguing guy to me. I really like Trayshawn Smith and Evan Fields, both of those safeties that they're looking at. I think both those guys could probably play strong or free safety. Evan Fields, I think, is probably more of a pure free safety, and to me, that's a spot they need, because I think Isaiah Robinson's more of a strong safety type. I really like the Terrell Bailey. I know that Matt just mentioned him as a guy who Notre Dame has a good shot at. He was the corner that they out of the recent offers that I liked the most. You know, he's a long guy, makes a ton of plays, great ball skills, really physical. I know Matt, you know, talked to Michael Young, and Michael Young was very complimentary about him as a player too. And I just think he's a guy that I love the way he closes on football, and I think his route recognition is really impressive. I think he's a four-star kid that I would love if they got. And receiver, I mean, it's funny to say, because I think Jordan Pouncey, because he's been committed, he was committed for such a long time. But I mean, if they end up with Oliver Martin and Hippenhammer, you know, that really isn't that. I mean, Oliver Martin is a better prospect than Pouncey was, and Hippenhammer, you know, I think isn't like maybe the flashiest in terms of his athleticism, but he's a really strong route runner. I was really, really impressed with him at Irish Invasion, and I wasn't expecting to be. So I think he's someone that impressed everyone. I thought probably next to Amon-Ra St. Brown, he was probably the most impressive kid there in terms of a receiver who had a day that day. So, and I like that. I think Michael Smith is really intriguing because he's a big kid that can run, and obviously he's an under radar kid, but I'm not sure what the deal was with before, why he didn't have the offers, but you know, he's starting to see him get more offers. And Gavin Holmes is a really intriguing kid to me too at receiver, because he can fly. So you know, a little bit worried about his size, but to me, you know, if a guy can run like that, he can be an explosive player in Notre Dame's offense. So I'm kind of pleasantly surprised by the guys that they've offered, that I kind of expected to be more, you know, plan B, for lack of a better term for it. Like guys that you wouldn't think that maybe wouldn't have a chance at playing at Notre Dame. But I think almost every single one of the guys, with, you know, with just a few exceptions, are guys that I think that would have a shot to be pretty good players at Notre Dame.
Another receiver that we both kind of forgot to mention was Jafar Armstrong out of Kansas.
Yeah.
I like him as well.
Very, very good.
Yeah, I liked him too.
Don't know if he'll end up visiting, but I mean, that's a very quality offer that's going out right now. I mean,
he's committed to Missouri.
Yep. Committed to Missouri. But he's starting to get on an offer spree of some pretty big schools right now, and kind of going along the lines of Jamie, I think these offers are very quality offers for this time of year. I mean, there's probably maybe two or three offers that are just kind of like, but I mean, they're going after some pretty good prospects that could play early at Notre Dame and some of the other top programs around the country. So I think it's kind of the new staff had targeted guys at other schools, and they're kind of bringing in a new list to the board.
You know, they offered Deion Jackson, a guy who was up at Invasion as well. That one didn't make much sense to me, you know, and I think it just depends on where they're going to put him. But, I mean, I know he's a solid back, but to me, when I watch him, you know, he just doesn't seem to turn well left or right. He doesn't look overly explosive. And, you know, they got C.J. Holmes, who I think he could get a better back next year. But apparently they really like him. I don't know.
I put it on the board. I mean, it's not like they need Deion Jackson. Yeah. So if they don't flip him, it's not a huge thing. But he's more of a luxury, I guess. But, I mean, it is kind of puzzling after going so long without recruiting a running back to throw one out this late.
Well, I think, you know, Autry must see something that he likes in him, and that's why he offered him. But that one was kind of surprising to me. Again, I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a great player. And, you know, there's no big need right now. And, again, this is my thoughts. And it's hard to see from the film because it's north-south film, you know, so you can't really see how fast he is. It's tough to see. But you can see how well he turns left and right in a lot of those. And so that's kind of, I don't know. An interesting offer.
It's like a poor man's Tony Jones Jr.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought as well. Exactly. All right. Well, you know, in the past, we've seen them kind of just, you know, pull out plan B, and it just hasn't worked very well. You know, they haven't landed them. And it's because you don't have a relationship with these guys. It's hard to have a relationship with these guys, you know, and get them to come when you haven't talked to them all year. And it's just hard to kind of make that happen. So if they don't get these guys, you know, if they don't get a lot of these guys, I mean, what does that do to the program? Jamie, let's start with you. What do you think this does? If they don't close strong, I mean, This is some major holes. I mean, they gotta get wide receivers, DBs, D linemen for sure. And if they don't get them, it's gonna be tough to overcome that.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it's huge because I mean, I've been doing some pieces on ISD lately, just looking at recruiting over the last four cycles, and you know where Notre Dame is at in terms of numbers. And you know, in some spots, they're you know have done really well, but you know, there's definitely a defensive back. There's, you know, some questions there in terms of where they need to kind of fill out things. And they've had some problems at defensive line filling out. I know that's one of the reasons they're targeting a three tech because they haven't done a good enough job getting enough bodies there at three technique. So, it is concerning. And then I think one of the biggest reasons why it's important to finish strong here in this class is, you know, you might say, okay, well, they can just make up for it in 2018. Well, they're going to have a tough time in 2018 because unless they start out really well and all these new hires hit the ground running and really make a connection with these recruits, because, you know, Brian Kelly's going to be on the hot seat and there's going to be a lot of negative recruiting going on. And the only way that kind of gets shut down with some of those top recruits that, you know, you hope that Notre Dame lands is, you know, they're going to have to start out really strong and have a great September to kind of stay in the race with some of those guys. And then all of a sudden, you know, if things aren't going well, then they have another class where they're struggling to kind of fill out at the end. I mean, that's going to be a big problem because I don't think, you know, Notre Dame was fortunate that they had so many commits going into the season. And I think that's the reason why I know, you know, there's been plenty of decommitments, but the reason why they have 15 right now is because they had those guys who've built a relationship together. And I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, if they're going to have 15 or 18 or however many commitments going into the fall this year because of where things stand with the staff. So, I mean, it's critically important that they fill out at receiver on the defensive line and defensive back, because all of a sudden you get back into like a Tyrone Willingham situation where, you know, you're really hurting. And then 2-3 years down the line, you're wondering where are all the upperclassmen, you're forced to play guys early that maybe aren't ready to play.
Well, it's interesting because I remember them getting in this kind of situation before, like when they took Drew Tranquil and who was the kid from Indianapolis, the safety that came in and they transferred
John out. Turner.
No, not Turner, the other one.
McKelty Williams.
Yeah, McKelty Williams.
Yeah,
so you have these two guys, and neither one of them have really kind of, you know, I mean, obviously, Tranquil's played and everything, but he hasn't become like the great, and I think it's because he's playing out of position. I think he's a linebacker. I don't think he's fast enough or athletic enough to play safety. And so, you know, there's a catch-22 here that you're in. You know, McKelty Williams came in, realized he wasn't going to play, and he left. So what good does it do to just take somebody? The nice thing is, sometimes if you don't take somebody, is you get into a position, as you had last year, where you have to play all these freshmen. Well, that's not ideal, but for the future of the program, that's a good thing that all those guys played. All right. If they would have had some safeties and some corners that were just average and not very good, you know, that but they played them because they had more experience or they were older, those guys wouldn't have got that opportunity. So there is kind of that catch 22 give and take on that situation. So for me, I'd just rather them not just take a guy to take a guy, because that's a 4-year mistake. It's not a 1-year mistake. It's a 4-year mistake. And so you got to make sure you're doing that. That kind of goes to my next, you know, point here is, you know, they're having this junior day. I think it's February 11th. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Okay. That's pretty late for Notre Dame on a junior day, but I don't think they have any choice to do that. You know, a lot of times they tried to do it in January before signing day, but I don't think they have much of a choice to do it, because a lot of these guys, you know, they got a brand new OC, they got a brand new DC. So the guys that they were targeting, they might not fit what those guys want to do. So they have to go back and reevaluate every single one of those guys that they looked at before, you know, meaning Elko and Chip Long. They need to sit down and look at all these guys to find out if they're the types of players they really want. And that's going to take some time. And that's concerning to me, because you're already behind at 4-8. You've got a lot of doubt about it, and you're, you know, behind in your evaluations and who you offer and all that type of stuff. So, you know, there's going to have to be some real, real pushing forward here. They're going to have to push this thing forward, and a lot of work needs to be done in a very short period of time if they're going to catch up. Because, as Jamie said, it's going to be hard to get these guys interested. So you need to get out on the road now and working hard and knowing, you know, who your guys are and developing those relationships and having that initial contact. So when you call up in March or whenever, you know, you're trying to contact them, you're trying to get them to come for invasion or come up for spring game or sometime in March for spring practice, you know, you have that relationship. So to me, that's a little bit concerning. You know, I get why you would have junior day a little bit later, because you just don't know what to expect. Matt, you any thoughts?
No. I mean, I think the junior day is fine. I mean, you'd like to have it earlier, but if they can add another one in March, I think they'll be pretty on schedule as far as getting the kids that they want on campus. Just with basketball seasons and stuff too, I think it's a little time crunch. Trying to get kids up in January. So, I mean, you'd like to get them there early, but at the same time, it's what a couple of weeks isn't a huge deal, but things do start slowing down a little bit for kids in February too. So, I don't think that'll have too big of an impact. One positive thing for Notre Dame is Marquis Stepp. It's been well documented, his recruiting efforts. And I think that if you can get him on campus with kids, I think that's a huge plus, just because they already have a relationship with him, and then if they can hang out with him, they'll just develop that bond even closer. And I think that's kind of important for Notre Dame at this stage, just with where they're at with recruiting.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big deal, you know, as far as, but it's because of the evaluations and things like this, you know, that have to take place, that you do kind of have to push it back. Now, to me, I mean, I know I've been harping on this for a long time, but I just think Notre Dame needs a whole, like, kind of overhaul of their recruiting, you know, philosophy, their recruiting process, everything, in order to get involved and get, you know, your name out there and get active more into this. You know, I think for say the guys in the recruiting office and Mike Elston, I think they kind of know what needs to be done, but I think the head man needs to make sure that he is holding people accountable and making sure that everybody on the staff knows, hey, this is a big priority. Now, I think if you look at the hires he made, I think that he realizes that he's got to do a better job of recruiting, right? Because a lot of the guys he focused on are known as very, very strong recruiters, and that's very important. And he knows that at 4-8, you're going to be behind the 8 ball. He's got to get out there. So I think it's important to point out that based off of some of the hires and the things that he's done, it appears to say he understands that he's got to get this thing fixed, but I want to see some results. And Matt, look, here's a question I asked you guys and I never got an answer to, and I know that you know, you got to do your job and things, but I want to know how many people did Brian Kelly actually call since the end of the season? How many of the commits did he call? Those types of things. Because, I mean, if you're trying to save your class, you'd think you'd be on the phone all the time. And I realize you got to hire your coaches, you got to do all that, and that takes a lot of time too. That certainly takes a lot of time, and you know, you got to get everybody, do the interviews and all that kind of stuff. But hey, there was no bowl game. You know, there was no practice. There was no logistics to worry about all that. You know, you had time to do all these things. And I'm just saying, if you're going to make a commitment and hold people accountable, you got to do the work yourself.
He's talked to Phil. I know that.
Phil Dracovic. Yeah. Well, I don't think he had much of a choice in that regard.
I think he understands the importance of Dracovic and the future of Notre Dame. So he's been in contact with Phil. I know he was in contact with Avery a little bit. So, I mean, it's not much, but, I mean, he's going after the quarterbacks. So I think he understands that in his offense, the quarterback's the foundation. So it's not a surprise he's making a conscious effort to establish a relationship with the quarterback.
It's only one position, yeah. Matt. That's it. It's only one position. Yep. Everybody else needs a phone call too. You know, everybody wants to feel important. You know, they want to feel like, hey, you know, they want to hear from the head guy. They want the head guy to call and say, look, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. We got this covered. We're going to hire these coaches. You're going to like them. Just that phone call stops the hysteria, stops the panic, stops the doubt. And I don't know. I just don't know why we made this.
Lyman need love too.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not the head coach of Notre Dame.
I'm just telling you. All right. Well, we did get a bunch of questions from ISD customers, so I thought we'd answer a few of these. First one: how many members do you foresee being part of this class? And it's like, and I know a lot of people, and we got a lot of these questions. And tell us who's going to commit. How many? Look, if they haven't even visited yet, you know, and they've had like one conversation with somebody, it's impossible for us to even begin to say, you know, I think because we know Mac Hippenhammer has always liked Notre Dame, that there's a good chance that he's going to pull the trigger just because of his fondness for Notre Dame. That doesn't mean that he will. And I think if he goes to Penn State, that's going to be interesting to see how that all unfolds. And I'm sure Notre Dame's probably going to say, look, you know, this is something you wanted. Here it is. It's yours for the taking. They're not going to want him to go to Penn State. So that's going to be interesting to see. But, you know, some of these guys, they don't know anything about Notre Dame. They haven't contacted. They don't know anything. So I just think it would be impossible for us to really say, you know, how many members we see that will actually end up being part of this class. I mean, you got to hope, you know, they pull up 22. You know, that would be seven more. But that'd be a tall order, you know, to think about it. You know, Hippenhammer, Oliver Martin, you know, maybe Jalen Harris, you know, as far as DBs, hopefully Chris Miller. I mean, you know, they're going to be tough to hit 22, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll finish strong.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just a toss-up right now.
Yeah.
Who's going to like their visit and everything like that. I think next weekend is when we'll kind of start to see where things are going to fall into place a little bit more than right now.
Let's ask the amazing Kreskin up there in Canada. How many do you think they end up with?
I'm going to guess they end up with five.
You think they'll get five more?
Yeah, I think they'll get five. You know, I just can't see seven. That's just asking too many guys. You got to hit a home run pretty much with almost every guy. You know, I mean, how many guys are actually going to visit? You know, like, so I'm not sure if they'll get, you know, five is maybe even being optimistic, but, you know, I'm going to guess that they get five, and do, you know, they'll do well with some of these guys on the visits. I think, you know, a lot of times you just know right away. And if guys are looking around, and they come to Notre Dame, I think there's, you know, if they're willing to take the visit this late in the process, I think that Notre Dame has a good shot at them. But I mean, it's hard to say that they're going to, you know, seven just seems completely unrealistic. And I mean, it would be shocking if they didn't, if one spot, either receiver, defensive back, defensive line, one of those spots kind of isn't filled out the way that they want it to, just because that's the way it is when you're forced to kind of jump in late with recruiting. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably being optimistic, but I would say five.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fairly good number. And, you know, it may be optimistic. You know, I could see them getting seven just based off of what kids have said. But, you know, you have to take into consideration that a lot of schools have been recruiting these kids the whole time. And Notre Dame comes in at the last minute. And that's just really tough to overcome. And it's kind of like the pretty girl looks at you or whatever, and then you just realize, man, she's high maintenance. I don't even want to deal with her. You know what I mean? So, Matt, you wouldn't know anything about that, but I know all about that. You know, I've had lots of hot chicks look at me.
You know about that playing timer pitch, huh?
Oh, man.
I'm more of a tradition guy.
Oh, I just had to. I just didn't have any other choice, really. I mean, if I just open it up for myself, I just got to lower the boom.
Yeah. The Godfather living in the glory days.
And they were the glory days, and they're long gone, that's for sure. Oh, man. All right. So the next question, will Kelly evolve and be more hands-on in recruiting? And if Chip Long is calling the plays, will the running game be changed? That's a good question on the second one. We kind of addressed the first one, and I have no idea whether Brian Kelly's going to be more involved. I do think he should be. Whether he will or not, we'll see. But the running game, Jamie, what are your thoughts on that? Do you see much changing if you're used to kind of running something? Do you think their assignments will change, kind of some of the ways they block things? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a little bit of change. I think, you know, which some people will be happy, you know, I think most people will be happy about. I think they'll run a bit more downhill stuff, a little bit more out of pistol, I think. Also, you know, sometimes maybe even a little bit more behind center. I think you'll see some areas where they'll use a tight end as a lead blocker a little bit more, just based off what I've watched from Memphis and kind of what they did. You know, I assume that we'll see a little bit more of that from Chip Long, and you know, something that I think we'll see maybe a little bit more formations where they're running the same kind of play out of it. You know, they'll run power, but they'll run it out of like different looks. So I think it could be a little bit less predictable, which I think is, you know, obviously is a very good thing. So I do think it'll be a little bit different. You know, it's not going to be completely drastic, but definitely some positive. It'll trend in a positive direction in terms of the running game.
All right, next question. Now that it said, you know, you said they were going to focus on science aspect of strength and conditioning. I know from weightlifting and nutrition. I was wondering if the players are given a specific pre-post workout formula daily, or do they have to provide this stuff for themselves? You know, I suppose he's talking about, like, you know, supplements and things like that. Well, they're given that. You know, they don't they're given whatever is legally allowable. You know, certainly no steroids. But,
or deer antler spray.
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, every program's allowed to give their players supplements and things like that. So they're allowed to do that. Next question, now that we know that Nelson will be back, what do we expect to see the offensive line look like next year? Matt, I know you got some thoughts on this, so go ahead and fire away.
The O-line?
Yeah.
I think it'll be all right. I think you'll see, obviously, the left side stay intact. I think probably you'll see Boudreaux move to a center role, obviously not taking over Mustafa's job, but I think you'll also probably see Tommy Kramer swing outside to right tackle, maybe move Bars back inside. I think that's how I feel it's going to happen, but we'll see. And then, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they kind of do with Hunter Bivin, and whether he's kind of that guy that backs up Bars at left or at right guard and McGlinchey at left tackle, or is they give Liam Eichenberg a chance to back up McGlinchey at left tackle. So I think your starters are pretty much there. But it'll be kind of interesting to see where guys like Bivin and Hodge kind of end up moving around on the offensive line as in a reserve role.
Well, it's going to be interesting because I think Kramer and Hodge will be the kind of the battle. You know, which guy is the best out of those two? And then if it's Kramer, they'll probably stick him, like you said, out at right tackle and then move Bars in. But if it's Hodge, you know, it'll probably be hard. Hodge staying at right guard and you know, Bars staying at right tackle. But that's going to be the interesting thing. And then I think you're right. You know, who backs up McGlinchey? You know, whether that would be Eichenberg or Hunter Bivin. So kind of the way I see it. Next thing is, what will the rotation, the running back rotation, look like? Jamie, you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, I think it's really going to depend on camp and just and the spring and where it kind of goes from there. You know, you would assume that Adams is probably going to be the number one. But I think it just depends. But I on how everything kind of pans out. But I really like Tony Jones Jr. I think usually it always seems like it always falls back into a seniority type of thing in terms of the reps there. And I hope that's not the case. And Tony Jones gets more of a shot because I thought he was just awesome in camp last year. And I think he's got a really bright future and can do a lot of different things in the offense. So I'm hoping that he kind of emerges as a guy that competes there with Dexter Williams for that number two spot.
Just give the kid the rock.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll never forget. There was a play in fall camp where Tony got like an outside zone play and he came around the corner and just ran over Max Redfield. And, like, Max was just laying on the ground. I was like, give this kid the ball.
Yeah, he did look outstanding in the time that we got to see him in fall. And so I can't wait to see him in spring and see how much he's developed, because you could tell he was just gaining more and more confidence as camp went on. And I bet he's pretty good. I would say at the end of the year, I thought Dexter Williams was the best back they had, and I had no idea why they didn't give him the ball more. It just really kind of frustrated me, because I think Josh Adams was just very average until the last couple games. And then the last couple games, he decided he wanted to be the running back that he was before. Now, I think he was hurt and he was banged up, and there's a large reason for that as to why he was just kind of average the entire year. But I hope that opened the door for guys like Dexter and for Tony Jones, because I think I really want to see those guys compete. And I hope it's not a situation where, oh, you're just going to let Josh be the guy because, you know, he has the most experience. Now, I think Dexter's more explosive. I think he's a tougher runner. I think he turns better left and right. I realize he's probably not as good a receiver as Josh is out of the backfield. There's no question. And Tony Jones is a very good receiver out of the backfield. But, I want to see those guys. I want to see those guys get a shot this spring, and we'll see what happens. Next question, which coach do you think will have the biggest early impact out of the new hires? I'm going to go with Chip Long, and I'm going to say at tight ends. I think that he's got the opportunity to make an impact real early there with tight ends, and he's got the ability to do it because he's calling plays and how he wants to set it up. I think there's enough talent there to where they can get a lot more production out of the tight end than we've seen in the past. And so, to me, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who's all back. Is Durham Smythe back? We don't know. We don't know whether Durham Smythe's going to come back. But Nick Wisher showed that he can at least be a fairly effective lead blocker. You know, at times I'm not sure he's a great inline blocker, but, you know, when they have him lined up as an H-back or come in motion type of player, sometimes he can be effective that way. But with Alize Jones back, you can make plays with that guy. And then, of course, I'm a big, big fan of both the freshmen, Cole Kmet and Brock Wright. I love their potential. They're both going to be probably 250. Kmet maybe closer to 240, but they have the body, you know, where Alize Jones coming in was really not quite ready for the physical, but I think these two guys will have the physical body to contribute. So, Matt, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think you went with the safe pick.
Okay.
I mean, Alize Jones coming back is pretty safe to say that he'd be involved. I think Brian Polian's going to have a big impact. I think Tyler Newsome is going to benefit from having a consistent voice that has a little bit of a special teams background, and I think that'll help with his consistency. And then I think John Shannon kind of needs a little push, just sitting out a year and then it being his first year, mm-hmm. just long snapping. And then just let Justin do his own thing. I mean, he's pretty efficient. So I think as long as Polian doesn't mess around with him, they'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Just wanted to get that in there.
Yeah, I know. You got to get your Yoon in there. Jamie, any thoughts for you?
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm just going to pick Mike Elko because you guys picked the other two.
Wow.
All right.
Defensive coordinator.
No, actually, I would have said Elko right away, not just because of, you know, what the changes at defensive coordinator and what that needed to, but I also think at safety, I think he's going to make a big difference. You know, and I know that they don't have maybe the kind of top-end talent there, but I think especially with guys like Devin Studstill, Jalen Elliott, those guys, you know, need to have a big year, need to develop. And, you know, hopefully Elko can make a big impact in that sense too. And I think the way that he plays his safeties, he gets his safeties a lot more involved in terms of dropping down the strong safety into the box, and playing a lot of eight man, in the box. And I think that's going to make a big impact. And he likes to blitz his safeties quite a bit too. So, you know, in that sense too, just like you with Chip Long, he'll get the tight ends a little bit more involved. I think the safeties will be a little bit more involved in blitz packages as well too. So, you know, I'm very interested to see kind of what happens with, you know, not just Elliott and Studstill, but Spencer Perry and Morgan, and you know, whether these guys move to Rover or what we're going to see from them. But I think Elko is definitely going to help the defensive backfield as a whole, and definitely safety position.
That Rover position is going to be interesting because I think, you know, you mentioned Perry, you mentioned DJ Morgan, and you mentioned, you know, or I'll mention Tranquil. I think that those guys are ideal candidates for that. And if that's the case, you know, linebacker becomes interesting too. Does Jameer Jones end up being a defensive end and a pass rushing specialist? I don't know what the answer to that is. That's going to be interesting because I think he's a very good and smart football player, and I want to see where he ends up. I don't know, you know, where else you put him at this point. But he can get after the quarterback, and he's been effective, and he's a smart kid too. So that and a motivated one, a very fiery guy. So it's going to be interesting to see where that all plays out. I wouldn't surprise me to see Trank will be kind of the starting Rover if he can pick it up, and he's a pretty smart kid, obviously. Tranquil is a very smart kid, so I think he can probably pick it up pretty quick. But what do you do backup-wise there? You know, where do you put somebody? You know, Spencer Perry, is he a backup? Is DJ Morgan a backup? And, you know, so you got to come up with somebody there.
And you need backups at safety, too.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, who do you put back there? And that's going to be interesting because I could see, you know, maybe some of the corners possibly moving there to back up because, you know, you don't have a lot of backups right now for that safety position, especially if you move all those guys. Because, you know, you look at, obviously, Elliott and Studstill will probably be the two that start. But, you know, who's going to be back there to back them up? And I don't know. I think you got to look at some corners, maybe a Nick Coleman moving. You know, somebody like that, because I don't know what else you do. Jamie, any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of Rover, I think that, you know, Tranquil is definitely someone that I would think would get a look there. You know, I mentioned about the strong safeties kind of playing more of like in the box role too. So that'll be interesting to see what Elko decides there if he thinks that Tranquil can play that role, because it's a little bit he's playing a little bit less deep than he normally would on just like a regular down. So I'm interested to see what he did there. And I know at Wake that the backup Rover played quite a bit too. It wasn't just the starter there. So, you know, sometimes they would play them both on the field at the same time. So I wonder what that'll look like. And I'm really interested to see where some of these guys fit in the spring, and I mean, it's all speculation now until we kind of see what happens there. But I definitely think that at safety, it would be a good idea to move a corner or maybe even two to safety, just because I don't think that you know, if you feel good about, say, where a guy like Troy Pride, if Troy Pride makes the jump and you think that, wow, this guy's going to be a really high-level starter for us at corner, or Dante Vaughn or one of those other young guys, then I think that opens up options to kind of look at, you know, or Nick Watkins comes back and he's healthy and looking good. That opens up options for what you can do in terms of, you know, moving Coleman, moving Ashton White, who I think Ashton White is someone that I would look strongly at strong safety if he can pick that position up. Because, I mean, look at the guy, you know, when you watch him, he's an extremely physical player, but I'm not sure if he's you know, a guy who can play man coverage down to down at corner, but maybe at strong safety, that to me, physically and just like his mentality, he's a fit at strong safety. So I would like to see, you know, a little bit of movement there, and hopefully, you know, we'll see that not just after the spring, after they get a look, they'll kind of get an idea of where everybody fits, and we'll see those guys actually compete at those spots in the spring.
What you mentioned, it'll be interesting because we have Vaughn, we have Troy Pride, we have Julian Love, and, you know, those guys certainly have shown that they can play. And, you know, we'll see what happens with those guys. But I would say those three are probably your most likely corners at this point. You know, with Nick Watkins, he's coming back. We don't know what he's going to be. But to me, when I'd watch Watkins, I never thought that he had the ability to turn well left and right. Didn't have the fluidity that you want to see in the hips. And so to me, I think maybe he's a better safety candidate, maybe a better free safety candidate, you know, to back up Stud Still, you know, and who knows what happens with some of these guys. You mentioned Ashton White. I think he would be good. Nick Coleman, you know, just have some people that you're going to have to try a lot of different things back there to try and figure it out. They do have a lot of good young guys, but it'll be interesting to see where Nick Watkins ends up. All right, next question. I was part of the crowd that would not have been upset if Brian Kelly was fired after this season. That being said, I'm surprised and encouraged by the changes he has made. One thing I think that has held him back, though, is that he has been trying to get to the NFL. Do you think that he's seen the light and knows if he doesn't focus on the task at hand, he isn't going to get any other gigs? Well, I just hope he's focused to coach Notre Dame. I mean, I hope his motivation isn't, I need to win enough games so I can get out of here. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, other than Jack Swarbrick, and he had a conversation, obviously, and Swarbrick must have been satisfied that Kelly wants to be here, because it would make absolutely no sense, no matter how much money it is, it wouldn't make any sense to have a guy here do a half-assed job. You know, that would not make any sense. You got to fire the guy if you're not convinced that he really wants to be here and be in the job. So to me, I hope that's not even an issue, and we'll go from there. Last question: what's the schedule on a daily routine like for football players? You know, moving forward here, you know, as far as lifting and watching film, that type of stuff. Well, I think they lift 4 days a week. Is that right, Matt? In the off season,
I believe so.
I think it's.
Right now the schedule.
Yeah, we haven't really heard, but I think in the off season they usually lift 4 days a week, and I think they, you know, have some cardio that they do as well. Yeah. But the you know, the kind of conditioning stuff that they do, I think they do in the morning. You know, they usually get up and usually somebody leads that whole pack, and they all get up and do that type of stuff. And then they lift, I believe, four times a week. I could be wrong, but I think it's four. And then, you know, as far as film study goes, there's no requirement there. It just depends on whether you want to do it or not. And, you know, that's where leadership comes in, I think. That's where guys say, you know, hey, have you been in the film room? You've been doing this. And I don't know what the answer to that will be. So hopefully it's a good answer.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to be watching, outside of maybe Brandon Wimbush, a ton of film right now, just because a lot of these guys didn't play last year.
Yeah.
And then they're getting a new offense, a new defense. So
yeah.
I think once spring ball starts, then they can start getting into that, and it help immensely. But, I mean, as of right now, it's just kind of seeing where you went wrong last year. But
well, and it's interesting because you do have a new defense. You do have a new offense. So, you know, they probably want to get a jump on learning it. But what do you do? Do you take Wake Forest film and bring it in, and you bring Memphis film in? And I don't know what the answer to that is. It's a good question.
So I think with one of the things too is they can't have access to the coaches in terms of they can't meet with the coaches.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not like the coaches. It's not like Chip Long can run like a seminar where, hey, everyone come in and learn the offense today. Yeah. And that's why the spring is so critical. And you know, that's like basically where, you know, they're going to do like full install of, you know, the defense and the offense and the special teams during that time. So, I mean, it's going to be really, really critical because there's so much new to learn. You know, I'm sure there's going to be the coaches are going to have like, you know, hey, this film has been made by the video guys. And, you know, if you'd like to watch it, they're going to kind of suggest, like point them in the direction to watch it, but they can't go in there and teach them. So it really is important for those guys to want to go in and learn those things. And I'm sure guys like, you know, Niles Morgan, who obviously it's going to be a critical year, it's his final year in school, you know, he's going to want to go and know the ins and outs of Mike Elko's defense before he even gets a chance to really kind of sit down and discuss those things with Mike Elko. So I'm sure he'll be watching a ton of film.
All right, folks, that's going to be it. I hope you enjoyed that, and we will be back next week and talking, you know, recruiting and you know, maybe some position breakdowns and how this is all going to hopefully unfold for spring practice. So that's going to be it. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week on Power Hour.
You've been listening to Power Hour, presented by IrishSportsDaily.com, where you can sign up for a premium subscription. Follow the Fighting Irish throughout the year on Twitter as well at ISD Update. And to listen to archive shows, visit iTunes and search for Notre Dame Power Hour.